Solomon writes in Proverbs 29 and 18 that we read that where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, George Barna, the old pollster that does all those polls that come out, especially during election time and things, he said his definition for vision was vision for ministry is a reflection on what God wants to accomplish through you to build His kingdom. In our text that we read in Proverbs 29, we understand that the word vision means a divine revelation. It means specifically a message that was received by a prophetic vision. Now the Bible says without that vision, the people perish. And the word perish simply means literally to loosen, to be without restraint. It literally means a stripping off of everything and making one naked. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, a good picture of that you'll find in the New Testament when Jesus passed over the Sea of Galilee and come to the Gadarenes. And there He met a man who was possessed with demons. And the Bible said that man, they would try to bind him up with fetters and chains and he would break forth the restraints. And the Bible in the Gospel account said that he would run around naked. And that's kind of what it talks about for those that don't have a vision. Those that don't have a vision are just running around all kinds of different directions without any leading of God on their lives, without any vision for where God wants to take them, without any goals to be set before them as to what God wants to accomplish through their lives. They're just running around like this old demonic of the Gadarenes without restraints, without any hope, without anything to look at, without any accomplishments for God in their lives. And the Bible makes it very clear, the church, that you and I need to understand that those that don't have a vision from God, those that don't have something that they're accomplishing for the ministry of God, the Bible said the people perish. Now folks, we need to understand also that not only will the people perish, but the Bible says that he that keepeth the law, those that understand what God is wanting to speak to them, in other words, the Bible says happy is he. Those that know what God wants out of their lives and those that are fulfilling the purpose that God has for them, those folks, the Bible say, are happy. Nearly 400 years ago, a shipload of travelers left Great Britain and came across the Atlantic Ocean and landed in the northeast portion of our country. They left Great Britain to begin a new nation of freedom. And the first year they established a town site. And the next year they elected a town government. And the third year the government planned to build a road that went 5 miles inland towards the wilderness. Well, in the fourth year, the people tried to impeach the town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into a wilderness. Their mindset was the following: who needs to go there anyway? Here were people that had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome great hardships to get there, but they had lost their pioneering vision and could not even see 5 miles out of town. And folks, let me tell you something. Without a clear vision of what we can become in Christ, then we rarely move beyond our current boundaries. Folks, all we see is this. All that we have a vision for is this. All we look at, we don't have anything. Without a vision, folks, we're limited to the boundaries of ourselves. Now, to get back to the book of Numbers, where I'm going to take all of the message from this morning. At this point in our text, Israel, you know, had been delivered from slavery in the land of Egypt. Moses had led them out by a mighty hand of God. And they'd been traveling for about 2 years at this point in time through the desert and finally arrived at the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was the final barrier that they had to cross in order to enter over into the promised land. And that promised land, you all know, was the land of Canaan. And Canaan was a place of great expectation for the children of Israel. They had heard about Canaan by Moses, and that Moses had promised them that Canaan would be theirs, and it sounded like a perfect place for them to be. It was a place where they could finally be free. It was a place that they could rest from the hardships and labors of their journey. It was a place where they could go and enjoy the blessings of God and rest in peace and safety. And Canaan was their land of victory and their land of blessing. And you know what? For many folks, Canaan Canaan represents heaven to you and I. We sing a song when I was first pastoring back in the 90s there. Canaan land is just in sight. There will be no more sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing. That is where I'm going. Canaan land is just in sight. We've got an idea that Canaan represents heaven. But folks, can I tell you something in the Word of God that Canaan does not represent heaven? Because let me tell you something about Canaan. When they got to Canaan, they still had to fight when they got there. Because there were still people living in the land of Canaan. When they got to Canaan, not only did they have to fight there, but there were many times over when they failed God and sinned against Him. And God wanted to do away with the children of Israel while they were in Canaan. Folks, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches me when we get to heaven, there's no more struggling over there. We're not going to have to fight when we get to heaven. And you know what? There certainly is no more sin when we get to heaven. So when we sing these songs, hey, Canaan land is just in sight. Let's talk about heaven. Folks, they're not biblically accurate. Canaan was never a picture of heaven. Canaan was a picture of the land of blessing that God wants us to go into. But folks, let me tell you something. Canaan was a land down here. But Abraham said, I wasn't looking for a city whose builder and maker was man down here. He said, I was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. I thought God was taking him to Canaan. Abraham never saw Canaan. Oh, but he saw that city. By faith he believed God, the Bible said, and it was imputed unto him as unto righteousness. Let me tell you something. Canaan wasn't looking for something down here. Canaan was looking for something over there. But folks, can I tell you something? So many times as children of God, if we're not careful, we'll get so much focused on the next life that we're useless to God in the things of this life. And the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Now, let me give you a little thing right here. So what is Canaan to the believer today? Well, as I've told you, it's a reality of the place of victory in our lives. It's also the place of accomplishment. It's the place of blessing. For the Christian, it speaks of reaching a place in our walk with the Lord where we can enjoy God's blessings and where we're not always defeated and we're walking in victory. You ever see Christians that walk around all the time and they're defeated by everything the world throws at them? They're defeated by what the devil does to them. They're defeated by this circumstance and they're defeated by that over there, and they're all the time just walking around, just all the time defeated. Let me tell you something. They've not reached their land of blessing yet. They don't have a vision for where God wants to take you. God doesn't want you as a child of God to walk around here defeated. God doesn't want you as a child of God all the time having the devil on your back and just beat to death all the time. God wants you to have victory. The Bible says, greater is He that's within you than he that is in this world. Paul said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think as children of God, we shouldn't be walking around defeated, because that's not much of a witness to the world. But we need to be walking around victorious, not allowing the circumstances of life and not allowing the prince of this world to tear us down, but living victorious and walking forth, shining the light of Jesus Christ where we go. Now, you say, preacher, that's all great. What's that got to do with anything? Well, I believe if God put a wanted out in the secondhand news today, I believe He'd put a wanted ad that would say, wanted, people with a vision. And folks, I think as a church, we need to put a wanted out, wanted, people with a vision. With a vision. Where are we wanting to go? What are we wanting to accomplish? And can we see beyond what we see today? Folks, let me tell you something. We must have a vision if we're going to survive. When you don't have a vision, things grow stagnant. When you don't have a vision, things stop moving. When you don't have a vision, things begin to shrivel up and begin to die. And you know what? After a while, you know, a person could sit down at breakfast table every morning and eat oatmeal if they want to. And oatmeal may keep them alive. Oatmeal's full of protein, full of all kinds of good stuff. And they could sweeten it up with a little brown sugar one day and throw a little milk on it the next day and put a little something and a little butter on it over here the next day and do maybe throw a raisin or two in it, a little cinnamon in it over here. But every morning they got oatmeal and oatmeal. And you know what? It may keep them alive. And you know what? Oatmeal, put enough butter in it, make you fat too, won't it? You know what? Now, y'all give me an amen on that, all right? We eat a lot of oatmeal around the house, you know. And you know, you could eat that oatmeal, make you good and fat. But you know what? guess what? You're missing out on those biscuits and gravy you could have every now and then. You're missing out on the bacon and the sausage that can be there. You're missing out on the grits and y'all getting hungry now already. Hey, let me tell you something. You're missing out on a lot of things. You can keep on keeping on and survive and even look like you're doing well but you're missing out on so much more of what God has for all of us. And folks, God says wanted a people with vision. That's what I want us to look at this morning is what God wants about a vision. Now look, the first thing about a vision that we understand in the book of Numbers here this morning is that vision is simply awareness. In other words, vision is the ability to see. Now the Bible says this in verse 6 of chapter 14. He says, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, he said they were of those of the spies. There was 12 spies which Moses had sent over into the land of Canaan, and they were two of those 12. And the Bible said when they came back that they rent their clothes. Why? Because the other 10 spies went over into the land with them, spied out the land and said, now hold on here now, Moses, we can't go in there and conquer that land because there's giants over in that land and boy, they're strong and they're big and they're ornery and we're just not able to do that. And oh, Joshua and Caleb come back and said, yes, we can. We can go over there and we can take that land. And you know what? The children of Israel decided they were going to take out Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb and stone them with stones because they were in essence trying to bring Israel to their death. And Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. They said, these people don't have a vision for anything. And they rent their clothes and begin to cry. And look what they said in verse number 7. I like what Joshua and Caleb said. It said, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Let me tell you something. All those other 10 spies could see were the giants that was in the land. But folks, let me tell you something, what Joshua and Caleb could see. They didn't look at the giants that was in the land. They looked at the land itself. And they said, you know what? What y'all see are enemies is coming against you. What we see is provision that God has for us. Let me tell you something, folks. That vision is the ability to see. It's an awareness of what God has for you. Folks are looking at this economy today and they're saying, you know what? All we see are giants in the land. All we see is the devil going to come against us. All we see is lack and want and all these things. Let me tell you what I see this morning. I see the chance to glorify Jesus, because who else is going to get the glory when you can walk around in this world and have all your needs supplied while everybody else is running around worrying about everything? And they're saying, why are you walking around with so much peace for? Let me tell you why. Because I know the one who sustains me. I know the one who's going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Everybody going around crying over it all. Let me tell you something. Lift up your voices and begin to worship the King, because he is the great I am. The silver and the gold is his. The cattle of a thousand hills are his. And he said, no good thing will I withhold from those that are mine. Hey, sit back last night. How many Carolina mourners do we have in here this morning? Yeah, I sat back last night and I switched over after the game was over to ESPN2 and watched the post-game report, and there they was interviewing Kurt Warner. Now, I don't know if any of the rest of you like Kurt. After last night, you probably don't. But I tell you, I like Kurt Warner because he's sold out and born again. And they asked him, they said, hey, Kurt, how come it worked out that you won like this and you were able to take on this team and everybody counted you out? Nobody thought you could win. He said, let me tell you something. He said, every time everybody counts us out and we come through and win, he said, it brings glory to God, because everybody else said we couldn't do it and God comes through and we do it anyway. Let me tell you something. Somebody look at you and say, how is it that you not only survived but you prospered through this bad time? Because it's God that came through for me. It's God that was there to get me through. It is God that's my provider today, and he's going to get me through. Folks, don't look at it as the enemy coming against you. Look at it as an opportunity to glorify God. Hey, it's the ability to see. The ability to see. You think about something here with me this morning. Do you know that out in the Midwest there and around Arizona and places like that, New Mexico, we've got a lot of desert land in Texas and places. And do you know that both the hummingbird and the vulture both fly around that desert looking for sustenance. And that vulture flies around that desert, and all that vulture sees is a rotting carcass. That's all that vulture sees, because that's all they look for. But folks, they thrive on that kind of diet. But you know what? The hummingbird ignores all the old smell of that rotten flesh. They ignore all of that meat laying out there for them. And instead, they look for colorful blossoms blooming in a desert land. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They feel themselves on what is dead and gone. And let me tell you something. The hummingbirds live on what is right now. They seek new life. They feel themselves with freshness and with what's alive right now. Each bird finds what it's looking for. Church, let me ask you something. If you're constantly looking back on what was and what was then and what could have been, you're going to do nothing but dine on rotten flesh. It's time you start looking forward. It's time you start pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, leaving those things which are behind. It's time to get that baggage off. It's time to throw that stuff behind. It's time to get moving forward, because God has a plan for you and I. Hey, vision is not only awareness, the ability to see. Oh, in Genesis, oh, Joshua, like Brother Danny said, we'll be doing a study on Joshua here before long. Oh, Joshua sold into slavery. Oh, you know the story about Joshua, how Potiphar's wife lied on him, landed in prison. Old cupbearer told him, I'll go speak to Pharaoh for you and get you out. And never did put in a good word. He spent 2 more years in prison. Finally, there was a dream that came along. And Pharaoh dreamed the dream, couldn't interpret it. Got all of his other magicians and everybody together, tried to interpret that dream. They couldn't interpret it. They said, hey, let's go get old Joseph. Joseph came up and interpreted that dream. In verse 28 of chapter 41, he said, let me tell you what dream is. He said, what's going to happen is that in Egypt, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And there's going to be good times, and everybody's going to be happy and prosperous. And he said, what you need to do is get somebody that can see this. The fact that after the 7 years is over, there's going to be 7 years of famine that come along, and you need to make sure you get somebody there that's building up the surplus during the 7 good years. Get somebody that's got a vision to see beyond the prosperity they got in that. Does that sound like America to you and I? Can't see beyond the prosperity they had a year ago to know the famine was coming this year. Let me tell you something. And he told him, he said, Joseph, he said, since you're the one that interpreted it, since you're the one that planned it, you can be the one that stores it all up. Let me tell you something, church. If you've got a surplus here this morning, it's not because God wants you to hang on to it. God gave you that surplus because He knew you were going to have years of plenty. And if you were wise enough to put something back, He knew there was going to be years of famine coming. And folks, we're entering into it right now. And let me tell you something. Those that never bothered to build up a surplus because they were just living for today, those are the ones that's going to be hurting. Let me tell you something. We need people to have a vision to see beyond what's 3 foot in front of their face. We need people that have a vision to see what God wants to accomplish in that. And let me tell you something. The world can look at you and I today. The world can look at our church today and say, you know what? You've been blessed by God, and you learned how to store up, and you're now able to be sustained because of the surplus you were able to take on. Hey, let me tell you something. It's the ability to see and awareness. Vision is not only awareness, the ability to see, but vision is attitude, the faith to believe. Vision is attitude, the faith to believe. In verse number 8, old Joshua and Caleb had attitude about them. They just simply believed what God said. In verse number 8, if the Lord delight in us. Hey, folks, there's a condition right there. You've heard me mention many times from my preaching, there's an if principle in the Word of God. Here it is right here. If the Lord delight in us. Does the Lord delight in your life? Are you serving God like you ought? Are you sold out to Jesus? Are you born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let me tell you something. If the Lord delight in you, then He will bring you to that land of rest. Then He will bring you to that land of blessing. Then He'll bring you to that land of accomplishment. And He said, and He'll give it to you, a land which floweth with milk and with honey. Let me tell you something. I just simply believe Joshua and Caleb had enough attitude to believe what God said. And folks, I tell you what, we need folks today just have an attitude about themselves and say, you know what, I don't care what all's going on around me. I just got enough attitude to believe what God said. God said if He delights in me, He's going to bring me to that land. And that land ain't going to be a land of lack. That land ain't going to be a land of woe. That land ain't going to be a land of shortfalls. That land is going to be a land that floweth, not trickleth. I've had enough of trickle-down economics, haven't you? I don't want a land that trickles anymore. I want a land that flows. I want to get under the spout of God. Let Him turn it on. Pour it all out on my life. Well, let me tell you how that's going to happen, church. Get sold out for Jesus. Because He said if God will delight in you, He said then He'll take you to the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hey, old Joshua and Caleb just had enough attitude to believe what God said. Dwayne Esmond writes, said a cookie store is a bad idea. Besides, the market research reports say America like crispy cookies, not soft and chewy cookies like you make. That's what someone told Debbie when she pitched her idea for a cookie store. Time and again, Debbie walked into the banks trying to get a loan to start her dream business. But there was always some reason she couldn't get the money. She was always too young, too inexperienced, too poor, or too whatever. Unwilling to give up her dream at the tender age of 20, Debbie single-handedly convinced a bank to fund her unproven idea. And so it was that Mrs. Fields Chocolate Chippery opened on August 16th of 1977, and the rest is history. Today, Debbie's little idea has ballooned into more than 700 Mrs. Fields company-owned and franchise stores around America and in 11 other countries. Why? Because she wasn't going to be satisfied with somebody saying, you can't do it. Let me tell you something. I'm sick of people looking at me telling me I can't do it. I know what I can do. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When somebody tells me that I can, it motivates me to do it even more, because I know what the Word of God says. I live by the Word of God. I breathe the Word of God, and I'll die in the Word of God. And the Word of God said I can do all things. And when the economy says you can't, God says you can. When the health says you can't, God says you can. When the world says you can't, God says you can. When the devil says you can't, God says you can. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Hey, I think Joshua and Caleb just had enough attitude to believe what God said. And lastly and finally is this. Vision is not only awareness, the ability to see. Vision is not only attitude, the faith to believe. But vision is action. Here's where we strike out many times right here. Vision is action. The courage to do. The courage to do. Verse number 9. Joshua said, he said, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear us not. He said, God has set the stage. God has put everything in the right order. God has brought you here for such a time as this, not for you to sit over here and look at it and whine and turn tail and run. He said, God brought you here to stir up enough courage in you so you could take over and face those giants in that land and get across that raging river Jordan, which, by the way, had flooded its banks. When you read later on, you'll find out. And the Bible tells us this, that God brought them there for the purpose of crossing that river and conquering that land. Church, God didn't bring us since 1941 to this point for us to tuck tail and get all scared and beat out of shape because of what's going on around us. God said, I brought you here for such a time as this. Be ye strong, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God said, I brought you here for that purpose. And we need the courage to stand up and do what God says to do. Not the courage to look at it and say it can't be done, but the courage to stand forth and look at it and say, God has made the way. All I need to do is have the courage to take the step of faith and walk in what God has accomplished. Hey, Paul Harvey once reported on his show that one summer morning, a fellow by the name of Ray Blankenship was preparing his breakfast. While he was preparing his breakfast, he gazed out the window. It's a true story, by the way. And saw a small girl being swept along in the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his home in Andover, Ohio. Blankenship knew that farther down the stream, the ditch disappeared into a roar underneath a road and then emptied into the main culvert. So Ray dashed out the door and raced along the ditch trying to get ahead of the floundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. And Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. But as he grabbed the child's arm, they began to tumble over and over end in the water. Within about 3 feet of that culvert, Ray's free hand felt something. Might have been a rock. He wasn't sure, protruding from the bank. So he reached out and grabbed it and clung desperately to that rock. But the tremendous force of the water was trying to tear him and the child away. And he thought in his mind, this is what he quoted, saying, he said, if I can just hang on till help comes. And he did better than that. By the time the firefighters arrived and the rescuers were on the scene, Blankenship had pulled the girl to safety. Both were taken to the hospital and treated for shock. On April the 12th of 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard Silver Lifesaving Medal. The award is fitting for this selfless person because this right here, Ray Blankenship was in a greater risk than anybody else was at that time because Ray Blankenship knew something nobody else didn't know. Ray Blankenship couldn't swim. Let me tell you what Ray Blankenship did. He summons up the courage to do what he knew he needed to do. And let me tell you something, folks. God is telling us in 2009, with the bleak circumstances all around us and everybody crying the blues about everything, it's time to stop the crying. It's time to summons up the courage and saying, my God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. It is God who will supply. It is God who saved. It is God who will keep. And it is God who will take us to glory one day. Wanted people with a vision. Can I ask you a question? What's your vision? What's God want to accomplish through your life? Yeah, we can eat oatmeal every day. Yeah, we can sustain ourselves and even get fat in the process. But do we accomplish anything for God? No, we miss out on all the other good things God has for us. Folks, vision is the ability to ascertain through much prayer and through much study of the Word of God. Vision is the ability to ascertain what God wants to accomplish through us individually and corporately as a church. Where do we want to go this year? What do we want to accomplish? How do we want to move? Folks, that only comes when people have a vision. And the vision can only come if God delights in us. But you know what? You could be here today, and God cannot delight in your life. Because, number one, you're not born again. God doesn't delight. The Bible said God is not happy when the wicked perish. God doesn't delight in the fact that someone is lost. But God delights. The Bible said there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Folks, God delights when someone gets saved. God rejoices when someone is saved. And folks, God can't delight in you if you're not born again. But also, church, God can't delight in us if we're not living like the Lord wants us to live. If we're not living in accordance to the Word of God, God cannot delight in us. But aren't you glad today to know that God has a plan? You turn on CBS Evening News and watch Katie Couric, and boy, it'll bum you out. But I tell you what, I'd rather just read the Word of God and know God's got a plan. I've read the first book. I've read all the way through it, got to the last. And you know what? The church is still alive. Hallelujah. The church is still well. One day the church gets raptured out of here. Praise God. Hey, but you know what? If you're not living in accordance to the Word of God, not sold out to the will of God, not living like God wants us to live, God can't delight in us. And if God can't delight in us, God will never share the vision that He has for us as individuals and as a church. Folks, we must live in accordance to the Word of God. Wanted a people with vision. How many of you want a vision today? How many people could honestly say, and don't show me, but how many people could honestly say in their heart, I'd like to have a vision. I'd like to have a new vision. Maybe your old vision got stagnant. You say, I'd like to have a new vision. I want to know what God wants to accomplish through my life. What does God want to accomplish through your life? You'll never know unless God can delight in you, unless you seek after vision. Folks, let me tell you something. God has something marvelous planned for us in 09. Question is, will we live sold out enough to Jesus to be able to experience what He has for us? Folks, let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, God has a plan for your life. He says, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God has a plan for your life. It's a plan to be saved, to be set free, born again by the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, and on your way to heaven and living in victory. That's God's plan for your life. The old devil's plan for your life is to drag your soul to hell, a place that wasn't even prepared for you, a place that was made for the devil and his angels. If you'll come to Jesus today and repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ, God will save you today. If you're a child of God here today and you're out of the will of God, and you're not living in accordance to the Word of God, and you know that your life's not sold out to Jesus, you know right now, I don't have to tell you, God is speaking to your heart. And God wants you to step out of your seat and come. Preacher, I don't want anybody to look at me. I don't know what anybody thinks. I don't care what they think, frankly. All I worry about is what God thinks. And you know what? He says, if God delights, not if man delights in you, he said, if God delights in us, he said, then He'll bring us to that land. Folks, get more worried about God delighting in you than what man's worried about doing. Would you stand this morning?